Okay, so we're going to be in a very major topic in halacha, the sugyas of hilchos geiros. You know, as rabbanim, we take all areas of halacha very seriously. The person asks you a shayla and yalav yavos, so you got to take it seriously. The person asks you what bracha to make on tenship, you got to take it seriously. But there are dargas, there are, of course, degrees even within the halachic system, which shaylas, you know, need a little bit more covered rosh, a little bit more yishvadas, a little bit more expertise in. So, of course, you have shaylas nuchos Shabbos and shaylas nuchos tas mishpacha. So, serious, potentially serious stilis or karis, those are very heavy duty shaylas. But with all said and done, not that we're advocating anybody messing up a shaylas nuchos Shabbos, but at the end of the day, you make a mistake of nuchos Shabbos, okay, you know, we move on. The world continues. You know, a mistake in Hilchos Geiros, a misunderstanding of Allah in Hilchos Geiros has such serious ramifications, of course, not just for the person who's asking the Shaila, but potentially for Darius of Klal Yisrael. So the Shaila of Hilchos Geiros really rank up there as the Shaila of Chamuros B'Yosir, and therefore it behooves us as Rabbanim to really try to get as much understanding, either we're going to be literally Mamish Pasti in Shaila of Hilchos Geiros, or we're going to be involved in any shape or form in the Geiros process. So with different people over the course of our Rabbanah, so then we really have to be fully aware of what the sugyas are all about. So we're going to try to get a little bit of a background to Hilchos Geiros, both in terms of focusing a little bit on the lumdus. Obviously, it's impossible to talk about pure halacha lumdus without getting an appreciation of the background lumdus as well, and try to see how what we can do with this. So all sugyas in Hilchos Geiros really begin with the Gemara in Maseches Krisos, when the Gemara in Daf Tes raises the question, how do we know anything about Hilchos Geiros? How in the world do we know how a person converts? So the fact that there's a concept of geiros in halacha, I don't need a gemara kriyas for that. Pesukim talk about it all the time. Clearly, there's an institution for somebody not Jewish becoming part of Klal Yisrael. The question is, what vehicle, what mechanism is used to become part of Klal Yisrael? So it doesn't say that explicitly in Tashi B'Chsav. So the Gemara Maseches Krisos tells us that we have a mesira that's based on the pesukim kachem chiyagur ilchem ger l'daraseichem kachem kager yelach yashem. Butchered up the passage, but basically what it means is that the same way that Klal Yisrael became Jewish, that's the model of Deri Deris. That's how a prospective Goya, becomes Jewish. That the same way that the Jewish people entered into becoming the Jewish people, so too, you want to become part of the Jewish people, you have to mimic exactly what happened back in the old days. What were the old days? What was the process that was used? So you have to look in the Pesukim in Sefer Shmos, which describe the transformation of Klal Yisrael from basically being B'nai Noach. There is a machlokes that we showed him just exactly what the status of Klal Yisrael was pre-Matan Torah, but it wasn't the full-fledged condition of Yisrael. There's clearly something happened in Matan Torah. So that process of Matan Torah has to be mimicked each and every time a prospective Ger Gioris wants to become Jewish. So what exactly did Klal Yisrael undergo to become Jewish? So the Gemara highlights three different processes. So one of them was Milah. How do you know that there was milah that was done to enable Klal Yisrael to become part of Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara has a big chiddush. I wouldn't have said this on my own, but Chazal said it. Chazal say that, well, we know that they had to do a bris milah at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the Torah says, kol orla yachobai, they had to become nimolim. So comes the Gemara and says, that milah that was done at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not just to enable them to eat Korban Pesach. It wasn't just because there was a mitzvah of Avraham Avinu to have a milah. That was viewed in the halacha as a milas geirus. And as such, we derive a din l'deiros, that original milah that was done in Mitzrayim, that is part of the vehicles that are necessary to become Jewish. And therefore, for all generations, if a male wants to become Jewish, he has to have a milah, not just because there's a mitzvah of milah, not just because it's one of the 613 mitzvahs, but that is part of the eri etzem chalois of geirus, undergoing a milah l'shem geirus. That's the first of the process derived from Sukkim and Pashas Bo. Then the Gemara raises the question, what's the next process? The Gemara says, Tvila, going to the mikvah, is the second part of the Geirus process. Vishte, how do you know that they underwent the Tvila? So the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos has an attempted pshat, which the Gemara eventually aborts, and then the Ram brought back to life. So the Gemara says, well, it's based on Pesukim say, V'chipsu simon seichem, right before Matan Torah, they had to be tovel all the clothing. So the Gemara says, they had to tovel their clothing. So Kavachem, they had to tovel themselves. So since clearly the Torah made a point of saying that they had to undergo a tevila pre-Matan Torah, Matan Torah was the vehicle of transformation to Kedushas Yisrael, you see from here at the Nadiris that any prospective Gerek Yeris has to go to the mikveh as well. So Gemara says, well, not so posha. Maybe that's what the pasuk means. Maybe the chibsus v'asechem just means to send the suits to the dry cleaner. It just means clean up. Means, you know, if you have a dirty clothing, you know, Matan Torah look like a schlep. So clean up your clothing, and then you have to tovel your clothing. And where does it say you have to tovel your body? So Gemara says, that's right. That the mokra for tevila was not based on that. It's based on the fact that we have a tradition that ein hazor b'li tevila. whenever there's a hazaz damim on somebody, so automatically that has to be accompanied by a tevila. Where is the hazaz damim? What exactly was the hazaz damim? So the Gemara seems to be interpreting the pesukim in Parshas Mishpatim, where the pesukim say, "Beyizrael, Moshe takes the dam, sir, kabbalas are brought by Yizrael ala am." So he sprinkles the blood on the people. So the Gemara seems to be interpreting Allah Am to be physically mamish on the people. So whenever you have a hazah, a halacha, let's say, tayefa paraduma, so you maz on the person. So hazah is always accompanied by tevilah. So too, this hazah of zrika sadam, hazah sadam, gufa adam has to be accompanied by a tevilah. So that's already a startling pshat, because already some of the Rishonim point out that there's another pshat in that pasuk. We're not even sure that's what the pasuk means, because Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Targum, Vayizrak al-Am doesn't mean on the people, it means Vayizrak al-Mizbech, Lechapra al-Am, a whole different shot. That wasn't Hazaz, Dalm Bechlal. There is no din that Zrikas Dam al-Gabi al-Mizbech requires Tevil of a person. There is no such din. So that's a very, very shaky Mokar. That's perhaps part of the reason why the Rambam almost falls back on the Havmin of the Gemara. When the Rambam says, Rabbi writes, what's the Mokar for Tevila? So the Rambam writes, Vechipsusim loisam. So again, how the Rambam read that into the Gemara is a different story, but there's some kind of a mokhah. So there's no question that this is the din deraisa. The Gemara is learning that from Sukkim, learning that from drushas, but even the exact mechanics of where this drush is very, very unclear even within the sugya itself. So far we have two for two, but each one we're not quite sure we understand.
Who would have Zrikas Dami Mizbeach before Matan Torah?
They built it, it says in the Pasuk that they built them in Baharsina. Yeah, they Shtemis Reim, but say right, they built them in Zbeach. Then the Gemara goes for the third one. What's the third vehicle that's necessary? The Gemara says the third vehicle is the offering of a carbon itself. And out of all the three, this is the most explicit in the Chumash, because the Torah says they talk about carbonas. So the bringing of the carbonas in Pashat Mishpatim wasn't just nice, the celebration of Shavuos. It was done as part of the Gevurah process. So you have to have carbonas and carbon as well. So the Gemara says, finally, after all the dust settles, Mila is derived from Mitzrayim, Tevila is derived from Matan Torah in one shape or another, and carbon is derived from Parshat Mishpatim. These are clearly all three dinim in deraisa. No question about it. These are the three parts that go into the Gevurah process. The Gemara qualifies the third of the processes, the process of HaKorbas HaKorban. The Gemara raises the question, in Kain, Bezman HaZel on a Kabul Gerim. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so we should do away with all of Gerim. So no, so that's what the Gemara says. No, we don't do away with all of Gerim, Bezman HaZel, because we have a special pasuk called the Deir Seichem. The Deir says you can do a Kabul Gerim for all generations, for the Deir Deiris. So even Bizman Shahim Bishkayim, you can still have Geirus. So that's why we still have Geirus Bizman Azeh, even though we don't have that third requirement. Meheri Abana Mikdash, they're going to tell all the Geirim for the last 2,000 years, first thing they have to go do is go run to bring their carbon. But Bizman Azeh, they're still considered to be fully fledged Jewish, even without the offering of the carbon. The Gemara tells a story that right after the carbon, so the people who wanted to convert, so they felt very bad. They wanted to bring a korban. On the other hand, they couldn't bring a korban, so they used to set aside money. They would be makdish money, put in the drawer, put in a little bag, and Meheri Bana Mikdash will bring this, use this money to buy a korban. And Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, right after the korban, he saw this practice and he thought it was a bad idea. Because what it meant was people are going to be makdish money, the money has kedusha, there's nisim eel on the money, it's going to sit in your drawer for the next 2,000 years, someone's going to end up using it to buy a cup of coffee with. First is going to violate the Yisr of Me'ilah, so therefore he abolished this practice. So, again, the fact that the Gerim will have to bring Karbonis that he didn't abolish, that's going to happen. But to set aside money for Bizman HaZeh, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai thought it was a poor practice. So, Lamais, that's what Bizman HaZeh, we just suffice ourselves with Me'ilah and Tefillah, we just leave the carbon part to Meheri Ban HaMikdash. So, that's the starting point of the Sugi. Again, these are all Dinim Deraisa derived from Sukkim, from Svaris, from Kabbalahs, whatever the Mekaris are. That's the Din Deraisa, that the person becomes Jewish with Me'ilah, Tefillah, and carbon. There is a question that the Lachlekes HaTanoim that appears in the fourth paragraph of the Masechet Yevamos, how much of this whole picture is Ma'akeh B'Di'evid? Just because you have to do something min HaTorah doesn't mean that it's necessarily Ma'akeh D'Chalais. Let's say Moshe L'Mada B'Daimer, when a husband dies without children, so the wife has to undergo Chalitza. So in order for him to become Muteris, she has to undergo the mitzvah Chalitza, but there are multiple parts to Chalitza. There's the taking off of the shoe, there's the spitting on the floor, there's the reading of the Pesukim. So you have to do all three. There's no question in the Torah you have to do all three, but it's not clear how much of the above is ma'akev. So the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us to Maseches Yevamos that the Kriyas HaPsukim is not ma'akev. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk that's not ma'akev b'di'evid. What about the Rekikas? That's a machlekes HaTanaim. We pass in Halacha that the only part that's ma'akev is the Chalitza. So it doesn't mean that you don't have to do the Rekikas. It doesn't mean you don't have to do the Psukim. The Torah says you have to do it. To fulfill the mitzvah of Shlemusa, you have to do all three, but to accomplish a desired result, to affect the chalais, so maybe one of them is ma'akid. So the same issue that Gemara raises when it comes to Geirus, Avada, you have to do all of the above. Avada min haTorah, you have to mila, tefillah, and korban. That's the drasha, that's the whole sugya. But how much of this is really truly ma'akev in the geirus? So the Gemara quotes three possible opinions in the Tanoim, similar to what we have in Masechet Yevamos. Three different possibilities. So one possibility in Tanoim is that only the mila is ma'akev. And the other day in Tanoim is only the tefillah is ma'akev. And the third opinion is the way we pass, that they're both ma'akev. So we pass in Rabbi Yechanan, Hadocha, Eino Gera, Chimo, Yitvot. So this is Nimru Vagomru, Chachme Gemara already came to the conclusion. So this is not negotiable anymore. That's the Pesach Havoch of Bezman Hazeh, that you have to have Milo Tefillah, not just the Chetchila, you have to have Milo Tefillah even with the Evan. In the absence of either Milo Tefillah, if either one of them is not done properly, then the person is considered to be a Goy Gomer. That's what we pass in the Havoch. The question is, what exactly do those words mean? I just said a very harsh statement. First, it's a Goy Gomer. He's nothing. He's zero. So one could raise the following Shiloh. A regular protocol of Mila, regular normal scenario of Mila, of Gera, so you'd have Mila, and then you'd do a Tvila. We'll talk about later on why the order is not that way, not the reverse way. Maybe, that's a machlokes, whether it is or not, but we'll get to that down the line. So let's say a normal standard protocol of Gera is you have a Bris Mila and you have a Tvila. And the days of the Gemara, there was very often a little bit of a break between the Mila and the Tvila. The person had a heal. Today also, heal a little bit. So you don't want to take a person with an open wound and throw them into the mikvah. So you know, let them heal for a couple of days. So in that interim period, after they already underwent the Mila, and they haven't yet done the Tefillah, what are they? So the Pashas HaDvarim, they're Goy Gomer. The Olam Eino Gerachimo V'Yitvol. The Halach L'Maisa is like Rabbi Yaisi, like Rabbi Yechon says, Halach Rabbi Yaisi. The Eino Gerachimo V'Yitvol. So Kozman, they haven't completed the Mila Tefillah, they're considered to be Mamish Goyim Gomorim, L'chol Din Yeter. That's the Pashas HaDvarim. So some Acharenim write, no, some Acharenim write, it's not true. Now the Olam Gerachimo V'Yitvol means that the Kedushas Yisrael is not complete until they undergo Tefillah B'Mikvah. So we need a Tefillah B'Mikvah, no question about that. But to say that nothing happened in Mila, something did happen in Mila, there was something, they accomplished something. There's some kind of a quasi, a kinesis for something or other. Something was accomplished, even a love of their eyes, so they are considered to be different. They're not quite a full-fledged Goy. On the other hand, they're not quite a full-fledged Jew either. If you want to, you know, use some kind of a halacha slash drush kind of a category, it's almost like a little bit like a summa rava say tov, not yet. It means they already left being the goy. Once you have an orla, you remove the orla, so you're out of the goyish world, but you haven't quite entered into the world of Klai, so you're almost a little bit in limbo. Is that true? Does that concept even exist? So it's not clear in the Gemara, not clear in the Rishonim exactly. Does that concept even make any sense? But there are Acharenim who have that idea. It's very enough Kavina Ladina. At the end of the day, so he can't, doesn't count for minyan. At the end of the day, he's not really obligated in mitzvahs. He's still a goy. He can't even catch Nisha yet. So at the end of the day, does it really matter at all that he's in limbo? Is there anything really to the Mila B'li Tefillah? So this touches on a very famous Shaila, well, hopefully we'll talk about a little bit later on. When we talk about one of the unique challenges in the process of Geirus is the halach of Goy Sheshavas, Acham Sheshavas. The Gemara says in the Sefer Sanhedrin that a non-Jew is not permitted to keep Shabbos. The Gemara derives this from the Pasuk, Lo Yishvosu, and Kachnem Halacha, that's the tradition that we have, that a Goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. It's a Gomer for Goy to keep Shabbos. So this, of course, creates a whole bunch of technical issues. One of the issues we're going to talk about towards the end of the series of Shirum is just the training process of Geirus. So we like to train the Geirum to try to have them mimic being Jewish. So obviously we would love to have them mimic keeping Shabbos. The only problem is that we can't have them practice keeping Shabbos because they will be makshel them in the Savei of Lo Yishvosu. So you have to walk a tightrope with this. So we try to train them to keep Shabbos, but then at one point we make them be Mechal Shabbos. So we'll talk about later on, how do we do that practically speaking? What do we make the Goy do? You know, we don't want to make them do too much because then it detracts from the whole Shabbos. On the other hand, we have to make him do something to make sure that he doesn't violate the Avera, so to speak, of keeping Shabbos. That was the background for the famous joke about the Erev when somebody was carrying or something. So they sent him, you're not going to keep Shabbos. They said, don't worry, I'm carrying. So he said, but there's an Erev. So he said, I don't rely on the Erev. So, okay. So, but on a more serious note, so there was a Baisa Shahoya, a very famous Shah that came up in Yerushalayim in the mid-1800s, about there was a person who was converting, and they had a Bris Mila, and they hadn't yet done any Tvila. So probably this wasn't like the most common thing. People weren't Mimagayr. The numbers of Geirus usually depends on just how good the Jewish community is and how bad the Goyim wanted the Jews. You know, throughout the Middle Ages, you didn't have people en masse running to become Jewish. Unfortunately, you had people running the other direction. But when things come better, when, you know, after Napoleon, after the emancipation, after the Jews got a lot of freedom, then the numbers of Geirim started skyrocketing higher. So in America, we have a lot of Geirim, but you know, we're doing okay, I mean, relatively speaking. So in the 1800s in Eretz Yisrael, so Lav Dafka, first of all, there weren't too many people in Eretz Yisrael. You had a bunch of Rishamis, some of the Prushim who had started to come, and then you had a bunch of Arabs who were living there. So Lav Dafka, the Arabs were running to become Jewish, the Turks weren't necessarily becoming Jewish, they didn't have that many Ginyum Shailas. But there was boom, boom, Maaseh Shekhar Choy, there was a fellow, a Mazel, whatever it was, he was converting to become Jewish. Maybe it wasn't a Mazel because he had a meal or something, it was different. But it was someone who was converting to become Jewish, and he had had a meal already, and he hadn't yet had a tefillah, and Pog Shabbos came. And the shayla that was the story was, is he allowed to keep Shabbos or not allowed to keep Shabbos? Is he supposed to keep Shabbos? What's his status exactly? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, he's a Goy Gomer, we're not finished, he's still Goy. So he's still bound by the Yisidah rights, so he's both, so he has to violate Shabbos. So that's what the Rabbanim and Yishalayim at the time paskin. It was a nice Shaya, that the way the story is told, is that right before Mincha, so we came to Shul, Mincha, and they told him just before you daven Mincha, he's a Goy. Before you daven Mincha, they said to him, I'm not going to give you an Aliyah, but before you daven Mincha, write your name, sign your name. So they told him, go take a pen and a paper, and write your name, make sure you mechal Shabbos Chol HaDeis. I don't know whether they made him write Moshe HaKodesh or not, maybe they suffice it. A shock self and the hell he throws. Who are that father? So I'm not sure. But anyway, but the mice, they made him be, they made him be Moshe. Good. So when the story, that story was told over to Yaakov Etlin, who were in Europe, in Zion, so he was very upset about that story. So he said that he thought the Rabbanim and Shalayim made a mistake. And actually, the way the story was told is that Shmuel Salant, I think was the Rabbanim and Shalayim at the time, I think he was out of town. He was on vacation that week or something, so he wasn't there. So whoever was subbing for Shmuel Salant was saying the Shirim that week. So he was the summer rabbi, so he gave this psach. So when Rav Yaakov Etlinger found out about this psach, he thought it was a big mistake. He thought that when you have a person who's a mal volotovo, he's mechuyif to keep Shabbos already. He thinks that he's not really an akum anymore. Akum sheshavos means that his mamash a goy gomer is not allowed to keep Shabbos. But someone who's already mal l'shem geirus, so he's not an akum anymore. He's not quite Yisrael, but he's not yet an akum, and he's allowed to keep Shabbos. Not only is he allowed to keep Shabbos, but he thinks that he's mechuyif to keep Shabbos. Says the Yerach Lunar, his mamash mechuyif in the bris of Shabbos, even though he's not technically Jewish. Mahecha teisa that mechuyif in Shabbos not being Jewish. So he brings a historical proof. He says that when did Klal Yisrael get the mitzvah of Shabbos? They got it in Mara. So Klal Yisrael, those 7 weeks in the Midbar, before Matan Torah, were Geinu Shemol of Lotavlu. Because we said that the Mila was done in Mitzrayim, at the time of Mitzvah Mitzrayim, the Mila was done 7 weeks later by Shemol Matan Torah. So for those 7 weeks, they were in this limbo, and the Rabban Shalom was Kapaskin against the Rabban of Yerushalayim. The Rabban Shalom was Kapaskin that they are allowed to get Shabbos, and the Mekut of Shabbos. So the Binyan Tzion thought was very dangerous. Anytime you have a guy who's in between Gil and Tzila, it's Mechurim and Atari Kiv Shabbos. That's a very Mechurishtik Shita. But whatever it is, it's based on this understanding. So the bottom line is that whatever the Lamdus is, Lamaisa, until the meal is done properly, until the Tzila is done properly, the person is not really considered to be Jewish. So we want to make sure that the meal and the Tzila is done properly. So the Gemara raises the question, which becomes the background of a very, very common scenario at this man. Is that about the mitzvah mila? It's wonderful to talk about doing mila on a guy, assuming that he's an oral, assuming that he's still has a foreskin to be mal. What if this guy who's coming at the age of 25 to convert had his orla removed 25 years ago as a baby in the hospital? Not and of any connection to becoming Jewish. There was no gavers, there was no mile, there was no bagels, there was nothing. It was just a medical circumcision. So now what do you do with such a fellow? So he wants to convert. So what are we going to tell him? So the Gemara raises the question in Maseches Yevamos and in Maseches Shabbos, what do you do about such a person? So the Gemara calls him Machlekes HaTanoim. So one possibility the Gemara says is that you do nothing. So he can't have a meal. So the show must go on. So you do a tefillah on him and finish. So what's the big deal? He can't do a meal. So you don't do a meal. What are you going to do? There's nothing to be mal. And the other Tana says, no, that we have to do a meal on him. There's nothing to do. So the other Tanoim say, no, you have to do what's called a Tofes Tambris. You have to do a substitute meal. You have to draw a little bit of blood. We'll talk about a little bit later on what that means practically. You have to draw a little bit of blood from that area where the orla would have normally been. And that somehow, hocus pocus, that suffices as a mila. And then you continue with the gerus, tefillah, etc., carb, whatever the methods are, other methods that are necessary. So machlekes haTanoim, what do you do with this fellow? Do you say that, don't do anything, just proceed with tefillah? Or do I say, no, not so fast. I can't just proceed without a mila. In the absence of the ability to do a real mila, I have to do a toughest on person's. So the Gemara has a similar sugya about an individual who can't have a mila, but not in the context of geirus. The Gemara has the same shaila about what we call nolad mohol. If a baby is born, a Jewish baby, we're not doing it with geirus. If a Jewish baby is born and he happens to not have an ora orla, whatever, didn't form properly, and there really is no ora orla there. So what do? So once again, you find the machlekes haTanoim. So we have to Tanoim say, don't do anything. So just finish. make a Shalom Zachron, and sure, what do you do? There's no bris. And the other Tanaim say, no, you can't do that. You have to do something. You have to do a Tafestam bris. You have to do something in place of an actual mitzvah. So you have the same achlokes, almost the same achlokes, about the non-Jews trying to convert without a possibility of doing a real halachic milah, and the Nolan Mole, the Jewish kid, who also can't do a real milah, and the Gemara is the same achlokes. Half the Tanaim say, do nothing, just move on, and the other half the Tanaim say, no, you have to do a Tafestam bris. So are these sugyas identical to one another? So it seems pretty clear from the Gemara, and for sure from the Rishonim, that these sugyas are not necessarily identical at all. They're really two very, very different issues. It happens to result in almost the same process called Tavas Tabris, but how we got there is very, very different. In the case of the baby, so the Gemara is a whole sugya Masechet Shabbos, then maybe there's a whole other concern going on. The other concern is, maybe there's what we call an oil of kavusha. Maybe there really is an oil there. Baby's born, well, the mild, the pediatricians, everyone's examining the baby, nobody sees anything. On the other hand, maybe we don't know how to look so well. Maybe there is something going on there. Maybe there is something deeper going on there. Maybe there is almost a hidden orla, and that hidden orla has to be addressed by a Tafas Tabris, which is a big question in the Rishonim. How does that do that exactly? How, if the Mitzvah is a hidden orla, so what? How does a Tafas Tabris rectify the hidden orla? That's already, that's more of a Mila Shaila than a Gerus Shaila, another topic. But some, at least at one stage of the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, the Gemara talks about that being the issue in concerning a baby. When it comes to the Gersh and his Gayer, it's not an issue of an Orla Kavusha. This 25-year-old, when he was 3 days old, he had a regular Orla, and we know the doctor removed it, and it's gone. There's nothing to be, nothing to the Orla Kavusha here. So the requirement of a Hatavas Tabris for that fellow has nothing to do with a physical Hatavas Tabris. We're not trying to accomplish anything by removing. What we're trying to do is some kind of a halachic gesture, some halachic symbolic act of almost a substitute for Bris Milah. So the Hatavas Tabris of the baby seems to be a little bit of a different twist than the Hatavas Tabris for the Gersh and his Gaya. But what is the din? What is the din? Do we paskin that both of them need a Tavas Tambris? Do we paskin neither of them need? Do we paskin that one needs the other? What's the din? So there are three different opinions in the Rishonim what the halach is about all these Tavas Tambris shailas for both for babies as well as for prospective gerim. So some of the Rishonim say that when it comes to a ger, forget about it. You don't really need a Tavas Tambris. We can be make them. There's no real need. We pass like the other Tanoim, but you don't really need a Tavas Tambris. Just go on business as usual, go do the tefillah and finish. When it comes to a baby, we're much, much more nervous. When it comes to a baby, oh yeah, yeah, that's a Safek Orla Kavusha, Safek Kare, so then we're going to insist on a Tavas Tambris. That's one group of Rishonim. The other group of Rishonim say the exact opposite. That, no. When it comes to the baby, come on. What kind of Safek Orla Kavusha? Orla Kavusha, are you kidding? The pediatrician, the urologist said there's no Orla Kavusha. There's no Orla Kavusha. Finish. Why would you want to do a Tavas Tambris? For what purpose? The person's Jewish, kid's Jewish, is born from a Jewish mother. So what are you playing games? You want a Tavas Tambris for? What are you accomplishing? But when it comes to the Ger, the other half of the Rishonim say, we have to do something, because you have to do some kind of a nice of a Mila. That's an integral part of the Ger's process. If you can't do Mila, so then the Torah says, a Tavas Tambris satisfies as a substitute of Mila. So you have Machlekes and the Rishonim and a Kotze la Kotze. Half the Rishonim is saying that Hatavas Tambris is absolutely critical for the baby, but not so important for the ger. And the other half of the Rishonim is saying, no, the ger is much more important. The baby we could forego. How do we paskin l'alocha? So we paskin Shulchan Aruch that we're not sure what the answer is. And therefore, we treat it all as one big suffix. And therefore, both the case of the baby and the case of the ger, we are going to insist on a Hatavas Tambris, albeit without a bracha. We're not going to run to make the bracha because we're not convinced that either one of them actually needs it. On the other hand, we're not going to let the baby go without something, and we're not going to let the ger go without something either. So how does that spell out lemaisa for us? So we shulchan aruch here then. It was gerus. We pass in the a very common shaila. There's a lot of people, especially in a place like America. So a lot of the goyim are circumcised. So a person comes at the age of 25, wants to become Jewish. So we say, great, wonderful. So let's take a look and make sure that you're really circumcised. Sometimes it's not necessarily circumcised properly. Sometimes we have to actually remove a little bit more of the oral. But assuming that he's circumcised properly, there's no oral there. So we'll say, great, wonderful. Well, you don't have to do any more mila, but you still have to do a tavas tabris, b'tarah sofek. And we're not going to make a bracha on it. Normally we do make a bracha on Mila Sager. So we're not going to make a bracha on Mila Sager because according to Hefter Rishonim, it's not necessary. But Misafek, a Safek Deraisa, we're going to do it. Is this really a Safek Deraisa? Even assuming that there is a principle called the Tavas Tambris, which again, Hefter Tanoim and Hefter Rishonim deny in each scenario, Ala tzadik inida, ala tzadik we paskin they need to be suffic. Is it a real din deraisa, or is it only a din midirabanan? So maybe one could argue that minat Torah, none of this exists. Minat Torah, the Torah says do a milas agir. He doesn't have an orla, he doesn't have an orla. Who made up the tabas labris? The rabbanan made it up because we need something. It's a little symbolic, a little gesture, a little something on the love of the rabbanan. But do we say no? This idea of a tabas labris wasn't made up by the chacham. Chazal didn't make this up. This is part of the Messiah, that this is the substitute bris milah. This is the official Torah substitute. If and when you can't do a bris, you have to do a tavas dam bris. So it's not clear, even al atzad that we require a tavas dam bris for geirim b'zman hazeh, is it a real bona fide suffik deraisa, or is maybe the old din was only a chum midrabban anyway? So mechaschinich is not sure. Mechaschinich mitzvah beis throws out the shas. It's not sure. He doesn't know. For the Gemara, it's hard to tell. Is it a real din deraisa? Only a din derabban? It's not 100% clear. There is a raya from at least some of the Rishonim that I thought was Bris's Mamash Adin Deraisa. It's a very, very strange raya. There is a sugya in Masechet Bava Kama that Peches, where the Gemara is discussing about those who were in Hashem's in heaven last year, may remember about this. The Gemara is discussing about how do you know that an Eved Kenani is possible to be an aid? Vishta in the Torah that an Eved Kenani can't be an aid. The Gemara is rushes and knocks and meislach and draws. The Matinos and Ben Inzal, trying to figure out how do you know that an Eved Kenani can't be an aid. So in the middle of the discussion, the Gemara says, well, if a woman can't be an aid, so maybe Kavachimer, an Eved Kenani can't be an aid. And the Gemara pilples back and forth and back and forth between the comparison between women and Eved Kenani. He plays this famous guy, Rav the Lola, the Isha, and Tereshogan. Not for now, not learning how to go to Kenani today. Maybe that's next, maybe next semester. But in terms of the Psul Eved Kenani Le'edos, the Gemara couples back and forth between Isha and Eved. In the middle of that Shachar Matayah, the Gemara says, no, that there's a difference between an Eved and Isha, because Mala Isha, she can't enter B'mila. Now, she ain't can't enter Kenani, is Yeshua B'mila. So since Isha doesn't have Mila, so she's lacking in things. She doesn't have certain qualities that an Eved Kenani has. Eved Kenani is better. Eved Kenani is more Jewish, so to speak, than an Isha, because the Eved Kenani has Mila, and the woman doesn't have Mila. So the Rishonim with the Spade is in Kasha, the woman doesn't have Mila, because she doesn't have an Orla. What kind of Kasha is that? How does that prove anything? That's just a metzias. So the Shit Mekubetz says on the spot, quotes from, I'm not mistaken, from Rabbeinu Yeshaya, who says that with the Gemara's kasha was like this, that a woman doesn't have mila, not just because she doesn't have an orla. The Torah could have given her a mitzvah of mila to do what? To do what? Topas tambris, be'echad mishayev areha. Means that the Torah really, really wanted to give a woman the mitzvah of mila, could have given her a token, make-believe substitute mila, by telling her she's got to prick her finger, she's got to take out blood to do atavas, hidei dam habris b'nivenechem. So the Torah could have given it to her, and the Torah didn't give it to her. You see from here that a woman is ain't of a Torah's mila klal. So that's a startling statement. It means this is a din deraisa. But the Shidduch Kubetzes is trying to say a pshat and a drasha of deraisa. We're pilfering about the status of an Eved Kenani vis-a-vis an Isha vis-a-vis Eidus, which they all did in deraisa. And the Gemara had said with a straight face, Ma'al Isha she'ena b'mila, which according to the Shidduch Kubetzes translates to mean, Ma'al Isha she'ken ena chayevas ha'atak tabris. That means that ha'atak tabris is a deraisa in the concept. It's something that the Torah believes in. It means something that the Rabbana made up 1,000 years later, so how is that going to affect the existence within deraisa? Again, it's a collector's item, that Shit Mukubetis. But in case you want to riot whether Thomas Tabris is there rice or not, if you have it in Baba Kamata Pechas, the Shit Mukubetis. Back to that story. The Lamaisa, whether they're rice or they're at the end of the day, the Shulchan Aruch says, and the Gair is, that anytime you have a goy who comes to convert, so we are going to insist on him having a Thomas Tabris. Are there any situations that arise where we could almost be Mavater on this? Are there any situations where we can ever dream of converting somebody and not do neither a mila mamish or not even a tavas amris? Does that make any sense? Are you talking in any hechtimza that you could end up with doing mamish nothing? So there was a famous shayla that Haredim discussed. It was about 100 years ago or so. This became a very, very hot topic. Haredim discussed as follows. What if you have a person who wants to convert? A goy wants to convert. To me, it's a sincere guy wants to convert. But he has a medical condition that he's not allowed to have a bris. He's an oral mamish, but he's not allowed to have a bris. He's a hemophiliac, he's going to die, because the shashi may die if he has a bris. So what do you do about such a person? So there was one opinion that was suggested that, well, maybe we can convert him anyway. Why? What was the svar to convert him anyway? Madach, if he would be born as a Jew, and he would have a chashash, a pikuch nefesh, so we would say, Meisuach ha-machos milah, so you're not allowed to, forget, you don't do, you're not allowed to do a bris on a Meisuach ha-machos milah. So this guy is like a Mesa Lech Abakasgula. He's a Mesukin, he's a Chere Mesukin, he's a Koch Nefesh. So what do you want from him? So we'll convert him, and then he's not going to be Mechuyev in the Bris anyway, because he's Chere Shesh Pesakana. He'll be Jewish without a Bris. So that idea was floated around in Europe a little bit. So all the Paiskim thought that suggestion was mamish, absolutely wrong. Mamish, lohoyot v'amiyot, such a svara. The obvious chiluk is so posha between the two cases, that in the case of a baby who's born, a Jewish baby that's born, so he's Jewish. The purpose of the bris is not to make him Jewish. He's full-fledged Jewish, whether he has a bris, does have a bris. The bris for Yisrael is a milas Yisrael, the Torah's milas mitzvah. So a Jew is obligated to keep Shabbos, and to keep kosher, and to not eat any Yom Kippur. He's do a lot of mitzvahs. And then you have another mitzvah called the Chaybim that trumps all of the above. So the Chaybim trumps the obligation of doing a bris milah. So when the bris milah is a milas mitzvah, so then the Chaybim applies. And he doesn't do the mitzvah, he doesn't do the mitzvah, it's finished. But over here, we're not having anything bad against this fellow. We're not upset at this fellow. We say to him, listen, you don't have the mechanics to become Jewish. It's not your fault, but what do we do about it? If you don't have the mechanics, let's say the Moshe Lod Avedoyimah, a guy wants to convert in the middle of the desert, and there's no mikvah. So we say, we feel bad for you. There's no mikvah. You can't convert. So if you can't do a bris milah, we feel terrible for you. But we can't do it. We can't convert you without having a bris milah. We can't turn around and say, well, you're an onus achmana patre. Onus achmana patre, achaybem, that's a klal in huchas mitzvah. This is a klal in the chalois. The chalois of geirus requires a saras oila. If you don't have a saras oila, it's not your fourth night tomorrow, you're not going to become Jewish. El Allah. So now, let's say the fellow's going to say, okay, good. So I'm willing to risk it. I'm willing to put my life in danger and have a bris milah. What do you do now? So we shouldn't do such a milah. Get into a lot of trouble if you do such a milah. So we wouldn't advocate doing such a milah. Does he have a right to say that? Yalpi alocha? Can he put his life at risk to become Jewish? I don't know. It's very long to shout, but we're not going to help him on this one. But there's no way we're going to be able to run such a milah. That's not going to make good press for us if we do a bris milah. Then he dies from the bris milah. So, but in Europe, this was mamash a real shadow. So there was such an idea floating around that maybe we can do without the mitzvah. But the mice, so the roof of the place came held that the whole thing was a lahut for me. Are there any other real cases that come up that we can almost do away with either a bris milah or without a tavas tambris? So the most common shadow that happens with manazem is as follows: where the rishayim, the gemaras, and the rishayim, the shulchan aruch were describing a tavas tambris, that meant when you had a fellow who was Gersh is guy kashu mohol, that meant that he was medically circumcised, or other religions that he subscribed to. As a little boy, he received a circumcision, and now 20 years later, he wants to become Jewish. What if he didn't receive a circumcision at the age of a little boy? He received a bris milah as a little boy. One small technical problem: he wasn't Jewish. I mean, they thought he was Jewish. The mother thought he was Jewish. His mother thought he was Jewish. The grandma, everyone thought he was Jewish. Except nobody actually bought it to figure out. Now, he wasn't Jewish. Why wasn't he Jewish? Because somebody converted somebody, Shulakadin. Somebody didn't come to the fourth year Lamaisa Shirim. So somebody converted his mother, Shulakadin. Someone converted their grandmother. Who knows what happened? And now this kid is being raised as a Jew. He received not a medical circumcision in the hospital at the age of 3 days old. He received a bris in shul with brachas, with bagels, with lox, with the works. And he's been going to yeshiva, and he's 25 years old, and all of a sudden, somebody comes to the realization that he was never Jewish all along. So he's asked to be a guy. No question, he has to be a guy. If those are the facts, he has to go and have a geirus. So now he comes, and he says, well, I want to be a guy here. So what do we tell him? Do we say to him, okay, first thing you have to do is have a bris? He says, Rabbi, I have a bris already. Well, wait a second. State in Shulchan Aruch, that just because you have a bris, you still need a tavas tambris. So does this fellow need a tavas tambris or not? What's the shayla? It's another portion. Meaning Yisofik, the same way every other Gershis Gak Shumal requires. So one could argue this is a little bit better. One, but Medivah Mamurim, that the Halacha requires a Tavas Tambris, maybe that's only true when the original Mila wasn't done as part of Judaism. But when it was done as a Jewish Mila, so maybe we can almost make an equation, if we had any room on the board, make an equation. The equation would be a Milas Yisrael is almost like a Milas Geirus. It's all the same things. The same Rebbein Shalom, same Torah, same Yerdeh, same Chinuch, same Mohel, same Bagels, same Lach. It's all the same thing. So what's the difference between whether it was done, whoopsie, we thought he was Jewish, or it really truly was accomplishing in a sense of Milas Geirus? So maybe we could say, Gloy Milslim Afreya, that he had a Mila L'Shem Yisrael. The Mila L'Shem Yisrael was at 8 days old. He's been a Ger Shemal Vodal for the last 25 years. I kept Shabbos for 25 years. Those are the Tanakhah. So for the last, he was like, Klai Yisrael and Mar. In the 7 weeks that he had 25 years, hey, in the middle of the entire, so maybe that's what we should do. We should do the original Mila, the Mila's Geirus. What do I say now? What are you talking about? Milas Geirut? What is a Milas Geirut? It's from Milas Yisrael. How in the world is Milas Yisrael hocus pocus substitute for Milas Geirut? So that's a shad. That's a very, very real shad. Right in the pose, this man is then. This is not a theoretical shad. This is a very, very real shad. Talk about Bamish Mas B'chol Yom. The person is a goof in the Yichus. They misunderstood what happened. And now, 20 years later, the fellow wants to know, does he require a new Atavis Tavris or not? So what are the tzadim in the shayla? How could we possibly be pesha in the shayla? So there are those who wanted to suggest that this may depend upon a famous kasha that the Ramban raises in Maseches Yevamos in the sugya about Tavis Bris, where the Ramban says, if you look back at the Gemara, so we spend so much time on what the makaris for the dinam of Mila are. Remember the Gemara said the makar for Mila's Geiris is the Mila at Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Ramban poses the question, the Rambam in Hukkas Yisur Abiyah, but the Geiris quotes from Medrash. The Chazal say, and the Pasuk of Rishon Yisraelu, the Shevet Levi kept up Bris Mila throughout all the years in Mitzrayim. The rest of Klai Yisrael fell by the wayside. Somehow they didn't keep Bris Mila, but Shevet Levi they stuck to Bris Mila all along. So, Frech Ramban, according to that Medrash, the Rambam quotes, so how did the Levium become Jewish? When it came time to leave Mitzrayim, so this question is about Moshe and Aaron, all the cousins. How did the Levium become Jewish? Mishlam with the rest of Klai Yisrael had a Mila, and that was the Mila Shengeris. But the Shevet Alevim, what was their Mila? How did they participate in the first act of Geiris? So the Ramban posed two answers to this question. So one answer the Ramban said is that in the Chinam, they had a Tavis Tavris. It's very hard to test this and start, because you have no idea. Chazal don't say what they did. So the Ramban suggests maybe they had a Tavis Tavris. The Eidish Shlomo says the Ramban, no. And maybe they didn't require a Tavis Tavris. Aye, but we possibly have to know that you do need a Tavis Tavris. So the Ramban says, no, that's not the same thing. A Tavis Tavris is needed when you have a goy who converts 20 years later, because his circumcision was not a mitzvah circumcision. But the mila that the Levim had when Amram gave a bris mila to Aaron in Mitzrayim, so that was done with Tairas Vaidav Hashem, not Vaidav Hashem, Moshe was born here, but it was with Tairas Bris of Avram Avinu, it was with Tairas Hatta Brisi Sishmar. That was a Jewish mila. So a Jewish mila suffices as a mila's Geirus, even though they hadn't even been given the parish of Geirus yet. They weren't even talking about the Megai yet. It was only done with Tairas Mila's Yisrael, but a mila's Yisrael can substitute as a mila's Geirus. So 2 days in the Ramban. So some Achronim write that if you hold like the first teres in the Ramban, that a Milas Yisrael somehow is not the same as a Milas Geirus, so you can't extrapolate one from another. So now we're talking to people, we're talking about a big problem. So how could you, what are you going to do with this fellow, this kid who was thought he was born Jewish, he had a Mila 20 years ago, what do you do with him? So Nebuch, you have to have a Tavis Tambris, the same invasion hour needed a Tavis Tambris, so this kid's going to need a Tavis Tambris also. But if you like the second answer in the Ramban, that a Milas Yisrael suffices as a Milas Geirus, so maybe we can justify the original Mila and turn around and call it a Milas Geirus. So others point out that the Dimyan is not correct. The comparison is not right. The second answer in the Ramban may not help here. Why? In the case of the Levian, it wasn't just a theoretical Milas Yisrael. It was right. They were supposed to be doing that. They were doing what the Ratzon Hashem was. When this kid had a bris mila 20 years ago with his bagels and locks as a little kid, he was a guy, his mother wasn't Jewish, his grandmother wasn't Jewish. So that mila may have been done l'shem milas Yisrael, but there was no tokef to it, there was no halachic significance to it. But you did a circumcision on a goy shenev, you did it with a brach and a mile and shul, but what you did with the circumcision was in a bris mila. So just because Aaron HaKohen's bris as a little baby could suffice as a mila's gerus 100 years later, 83 years later, but that doesn't necessarily translate to mean that a mila of a goy, even though it was done the shame of Israel, erroneously the shame of Israel, who says that's going to translate to become a mila's geirus? So the raya, the dimim for the Ramban is not the hukum. Do you have any other raya? Any other examples? Whether somehow doing things as a Jew, somehow that becomes doing things like a ger, the two are really almost intertwined. So one of the other rayas is a very, very famous gemara, which hopefully we're going to talk about a lot as the shiurim develop. One of the most pivotal gemaras of Geirus, the gemara in the fourth parak of Yevamos. The gemara tells a story, jumping ahead for a moment to Tevila, the gemara tells a story about how there was a certain woman who had apparently converted, and there was some kind of a pickbook about her Geirus. It wasn't clear what the pickbook was even. There was some kind of question about her Geirus. So the shayla came up to the Amorayim, and they said, this woman, she's already been acting Jewish for the last 20 years, she's already married, she's from, she goes to the mikveh every month, tells the mishpacha. The Gemara says forwards, Mila Tavla Nidusa. Isn't she going to the mikveh b'teres tefilas Nida? So she's going to the mikvah with Taurus Yerushalmi, then it's also good. But he had to go with Taurus Geirus. Even if the original Geirus was shaking, Mila Tavla Medusa. The Tefillah L'Shem Nidus is good enough as well. So it's those four magic words, Mila Tavla Medusa. So what do those words mean? So the simple reading of the Gemara is that even though the first Tefillah somehow was not done properly, but for the last 20 years, there's been a Tefillah Nida. And that can somehow double the Tefillah Geirus. How can that double the Tefillah Geirus? But that's Peteris Taras Mishpach, that's Peteris Geirus. So the Chari, you see from the Gemara that when I do something to be a Jewish act, I'm doing a Jewish ritual religious act called Tevilah, so even though my particular intent was Tevilah B'Toras Mitzvah, I wasn't really interested in becoming Jewish, I thought I was Jewish all along, but Af Al Pi Chein,
I'll speak, Rabbi, just to share in 3 minutes. I'm going to make an announcement. This is a whole fast announcement. This is Bet Shiffer. I'm Rabbi Pressman. We're opening up Pesach 8 days around the city in many locations with thousands of Jewish people. If you know anybody who needs a Pesach Seder or needs food for Pesach, it's all free and no charge whatsoever. Okay? I'm Rabbi Pressman. It's called Bet Shiffer. It's on the internet, betshiffer.org, if you want to. And this is a rabbinical lines letters included in that, is showing you what we're doing.
Okay,
so you give this out later,
okay,
Rabbi.
Okay, sure. Okay.
Have a chance to give this out, Rabbi.
Okay, we'll give it out at the end of the show. We'll give it out.
Thank,
okay.
You.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that I thought he was coming into the Shia. I thought it was like 40 years speaker guy. Like I told you, I some older man.
Yeah,
well, yeah. No, I figured, yeah. Who knows who's coming signing up for speaker now? Okay. Anyway, so the simple reading of the Gemara is that the tefillah that's done, even though it's not, the mindset isn't really geirus, the mindset is religion, the mindset is ritual, but what's the difference? Chelik Beis Yodeh, Chelik Gimel Yodeh, it's all the same thing, it's all part of being Jewish, so that's also good enough. So if that's true vis-a-vis tefillah, then maybe the same is true vis-a-vis milah. So a meal that's done to fulfill the mitzvah tefillah, maybe you can turn around and fulfill the milah's geirus as well. So someone will bring a raya from that Gemara. The problem with bringing a raya from that Gemara is that, as we'll see, by the time we finish the sugya, that Gemara is so complicated, so problematic. There are so many different kashas in that Gemara. How in the world are those tefillahs good? Those tefillahs are done shlokas they're based in, and those tefillahs are done at night. They have all strikes against them in terms of those tefillahs geiras. So the Ram had a whole other pshat in the Gemara, and Taisa had a different pshat, and 15 different pshat in the Gemara before he figured out what in the world that Gemara meant. So to extrapolate from that Gemara, you have to be very, very weary. So again, we'll hopefully, as we talk a little bit more about tefillah and more about Beisdin's role in geiras as the week's coming up. So we keep on coming back to that Gemara. So just keep on the back burner. That Gemara may be a pivotal Gemara. So when all the dust settles, what is the din? Well, you have this kid here who had a bris milah, b'taras mitzvah at the age of 8 days. Now 20 years later, he wants to convert. Are we going to insist that he has a chavastam bris in him? So there are different opinions about this. There are many poskim who are lenient about this. Many of the bati dim in America are lenient about this. And the reason why many are makel about this is almost a combination of a lot of different factors. So first of all, going back to what we started with, even the existence of this din of atavas tambris, the quote-unquote requirement of atavas tambris, this was a big question whether it even exists altogether. Half the Rishonim said the whole thing, doesn't it? And haray, we don't make a bracha on it. So we only treat it as a suffix. Al atzad that you need it, we're not even sure whether it's the Raisa, the Rabban, the Chachmim wasn't even commit. I mean, I know the Shidduch Beth Mamkar Bechas said the Raisa, okay, that's true, but we're not even sure that that's, like, you know, for sure required out of love of the Raisa. That's another thing, you know, we're a little bit weary about. Then you have another factor here that maybe based on one day in the Ramban, maybe it's okay. Maybe that Dichli of that Raya is not a good Dichli. Maybe according to the Ramban, one day it would be okay. Maybe the Raya from Tevilah is a good Raya. So we have a lot of starting to believe that it may very well be okay. Another tzad that's become helpful is that, how do you know that the original meal was not done with Taurus Geirus? What do you mean? The kid thought it was Jewish. It may be true, the kid thought it was Jewish, and it could be that the parents thought it was Jewish also, but a lot of the Moyle were a little bit smarter. And if the Moyle was a little bit perceptive, so he may have had it about, now again, whether he should have been doing this meal or not, under the circumstances, is a whole other story, but it could be that the Moyle may have been a little bit perceptive and realized there may be something fishy going on here, possibly. And he may have had in the back of his mind, al hatzad, that this is not up to par, this mila, well, it may at least be able to serve as a mila's geirus sometime down the line. So if the Moel had that in mind, the shei mila's geirus, that will alleviate the entire shayla. Either with no Beis Din presence, we get to Chos Beis Din, we'll see why. The Beis Din for mila may not be the end of the world. We'll get to that hopefully much further down the line. So when all the dust settles, many of the Bata Hidim are Mekel and the Shaila. We have a lot of these factors combined together. Again, others who don't want to take any chances, they'll do a tough stump risk. Even in these cases of a lot of different latest assaults, fakers in the direction that wouldn't necessarily be necessary. So although we're talking a lot about Tavis Dan Bris, which again, Bisman says, is a very common thing. A lot of non-Jews are medically circumcised before. What exactly is this Tavis Dan Bris, just in terms of practically? What exactly is that Tavis Dan Bris? So there was a big machlekes in the poskim, how exactly you go about practically doing Tavis Dan Bris. So apparently the minig for years was that the area of the aver that bleeds, namely the soft fleshy part, right at the bottom of what we call the atara, whether that's the exact halakha term or not, is also a question. But the beginning of the fleshy part, not the softer part, so to speak, at the top. So the fleshy part, that will bleed. If you poke that, so it's going to bleed a little bit. So that's what the minig was, the Merlim used to do. That was that toughest number. So the Chazon Ish raised the question about that. So the Chazon Ish said that he thinks that toughest number is supposed to be on the area which is covered normally by the Ora Orla. Because the whole goal of a Tavis Dan Bris is to be a substitute to the Hasaras Orla, so then you have to do the Tavis Dan Bris on the place where the Ora Orla used to be. The place that the Mayim are drawing blood from, that's not the Ora Orla anymore. That's below the Ora Orla. So the Ora Orla was on the very tip part of the Aver, which it doesn't really bleed in the classic way. So the Chazon Ish said that you don't have to mabish poke. Who knows what kind of thing? Just scratch a little bit, and you do it called Mitzra Adam. If you make a scratch, so just like in Shabbos, Mach Avimo, it causes a little bit of the blood to collapse. That's considered to be like making a chabura. That's like a Tavis Dan Bris. So that would be sufficient. That would be the more correct way to do that Tavis Dan Bris. They have different opinions exactly how to do that Tavis Dan Bris. To the best of my knowledge, I think they still do it the old way. There's some who wanted to do the Chazon Ish. Also, I don't know. What I was told is that the Bata Hidim today still do it. You have any up to date on this? That's what they do, right? They still do it the old way of the drawing blood from that fleshy part. I'm sure they assume that's considered to be the Tavis Dan Bris. Again, the whole Tavis Dan Bris has a lot of sveikus, a lot of questions about it. But again, we do it. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, we do paskin that you need it. If and when, the halacha is that you need it, so we will insist on doing it. But again, the minigas do it in the old fashioned way. So again, we spoke a lot of time about Mila, and now we move on a little bit, at least we'll get started a little bit, about the Tevila. So Tevila is also an integral part of Geirus. For we passed in Eno Ger Achim of Yipo, for a woman, obviously Tevila, for everybody, Tevila is not, that's all there is, right, no more, for a woman. So obviously Tevila has to take place properly. In order for Tevila to take place properly, before we can discuss the details of the Tevila as relates to Geirus, we just have to just quickly familiarize ourselves with just the basic ABCs of Tevila and Kol Torah Kula. So the Tevila that we're talking about here has to be a Deraisa Dika Tevila. Geirus is a Deraisa. So the standards of Tevila have to be a Deraisa Dika standards. The most important part of a Deraisa Dika Tevila is that the body of water that you're using is going to be kosher for the Tevila. It has to be a real bona fide mikvah on the level of Deraisa. Why do I say that? Is there such a thing as not a mikvah Deraisa? Yeah, there is. You can have different mikvahs that are quote-unquote mikvahs, or something quote-unquote men's mikvahs, that are not necessarily up to par in terms of really being a mikvah. Again, I think Rabbi Simon gives a whole bunch of shurman of his mikvahs, which we'll elaborate more, but just for our purposes, b'kitz and nimrutz, what we call something as a men's mikvah is not at all necessarily a kosher mikvah, because in order to be a kosher mikvah, the mayim can't be mayim shuvim. It means it has to be water that came about directly from the sky through the proper series of contraptions, that it wasn't a kabbal and a kli. Many of the men's mikvahs, including the one on 187th Street, the number of mikvah, is not really technically a mikvah. It's really a giant collection of water. It's a giant bathtub. So if you fill up a big bathtub with water right out of the pipes, so we assume that the water out of the pipes is a serious concern of Mayim Shuvim. Whether that's 100% true or not, we'll leave to Rabbi Simon to discuss, but we assume, the halacha ma'aseh, we assume that all the city water, all the water that comes through the pipes is considered to be Mayim Shuvim. So if you just fill up a big hole in the ground with a lot of city water, so maybe that's good for Tfilas Ezra. That's why we some places build these men's mikvahs, because for men's purposes, it's only in their abundance, and the aminik is the chassidus, whatever it is. So for Tfilas Ezra, so you don't need a real super duper kosher mikvah. But for Tfilas Geirus, of course, you do. So we would never ever use a men's mikvah for Tfilas Geirus unless it was actually built as a kosher mikvah. Just as an aside, the same is true for Tfilas Caleb. Tfilas Caleb also required that it has to be a real kosher mikvah. I remember when somebody called me from a certain men's mikvah that they were traveling to Caleb. And I said to them, what mikveh are you in? They said, we're in the men's mikveh in Makom Pleni. I said, did you bother asking whether the men's mikveh is kosher? So they didn't bother asking. So the men's mikveh was takanat kosher, so tefillas kehilim was batel mevatel. So you have to be especially careful when you're dealing with tefillas geiros, make sure that the mikveh is going to be a kosher or mikveh. You could theoretically use other bodies of water as well, but again, anytime you use any other body of water, so it has to pass the test of Hilchos Mikvos, not all natural bodies of water are going to be kosher. So again, when you learn Hilchos Mikvos, you'll figure out with the rivers and lakes and oceans and all the different kinds of scenarios, what's good and what's no good. But the standard has to be the highest possible standard. It has to be good for Tefillas Nida and good for Tefillas Kehilim, and of course it's good, then only then is it good for Hilchos Geirus. In addition to just the kashrus or the chatz of the mikvah, the tevila has to be done to the highest standards as well. So the most important thing that could go wrong, the most critical thing that could go wrong in a tevila, is if the tevila is not done completely under the water. If even the smallest amount of the body, or the hair for that matter, is left above the water level, so then the entire tevila is no good on a level of deraisa. The Gemara speaks about if you have chatzitzas on small parts of the body, it doesn't disqualify the tevila in the Torah. That's because it went under the water, it was just a davar chaitzitz. But if it didn't go under the water, that's a disaster. That's terrible. That's mamash psul min haTorah. That's why when a woman goes to the mikvah for tefillas nida, she has to have somebody watch her, because otherwise the hair is going to float to the top and she will never know whether all her hair went under. That's what the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Kriyashma. So the siman about Tzeir Bisha Erva, so the Mishnah Berurah has a whole long digression about this halach. He says, even though this is not Hilchos Nida, he writes, and I'm not writing a parish near there, he writes, but it's so pressing that all the women have to know, all the rabbanim have to make sure the women are aware that when they go to the mikvah, every hair has got to go totally under the water, or else the mamshin is sakaris. So the same is true when it comes to tefillas geiros. And tefillas geiros has to be supervised so properly, besides the bezdin and all that stuff we'll talk about a little later on. But just the ABCs of the tefillah, the mechanism, the method of tefillah has to be 100% up to par. If some of the hair is above the water, so it's ice tefillah, it's ice tefillah, the person is mamash goy gomer. So the mikvah has to be kosher mikvah, the tefillah has to be kosher mikvah, and the tefillah has to be kosher tefillah, the dinim of chatzitza have to be observed as well. So the dinim of chatzitza, we don't have enough time to go through the details of everything, but just b'kitzah and imrutz. So the hilchos chatzitza are the same as they are in hilchos nida. So anything that's a chashash, if it's a rubah hamakbid, it disqualifies the tefillah in the Torah. If it's a mir hamakbid, it disqualifies it in the rabbanim. So you got to be really, really serious. So the rabbanim, anytime you supervise a geirus, you have to make sure. Make sure any shalos of stitches and braces and whatever. I'm not saying any of those things are problems. Bandage, whatever shalos you would ask in hilchos tefillas nida, you have to make sure that those shalos are asked and answered properly in hilchos tefillas geirus as well. Okay? All right, so we'll stop here in terms of the tefillah. We'll miss your next week. We'll continue. Do what do we usually do?
4 minutes.
4 minutes?
4 minutes downstairs.
Down downstairs? Okay. Okay.